Speaking on this program is Brother James Watkins.
A short while ago, we based our remarks on Psalms chapter 39 at verse 7. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee. We pointed out that waiting is sometimes essential, laying the foundation. Doesn't mean that we are idle during the waiting period. No, no, we labor to the end that the ultimate goal may be accomplished. The farmer fixes his soil, sows his seed, but he has to wait for the precious harvest. And we understand about that, but there are times when waiting is extremely dangerous. And when we come to realize who we really are, immortal spirits, and the older I get, the more I see of the passing of friends and loved ones, those who were near and some whom I have not met and yet have known through their activities and their services in time past, passing into eternity, unprepared to meet God. Friends, when you think about eternity that lies before you, waiting in spiritual matters is terribly disastrous. It is a mistake to put off one's commitment to Jesus Christ. You know, I talk to people occasionally. It seems this is a rather broad concept on the part of many people in our world today, basically good people. But they'll say, yes, I know that what you're saying is true, but I would do it, but I'm just afraid I can't live up to it. Friends, I always agree with that. No, it's impossible. It's out of the question. The physical man... I mean, with all of the mentality that the sharpest may entertain, it can't be done. That's a misconception of the work of the Master in the earth. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, how does He do that? Well, it's not a matter of my waiting for some kind of perfecting power, you know, things to straighten up in my life. No. That kind of thing is gained by growth. I need to understand that spirituality, Christianity, even as we say faith, is a matter of growth. Yes, but now, how does this begin? You remember that some were saying, let us sin that grace may abound, etc., etc. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, in response to that kind of thing, what shall we say to these things? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We who died to sin, how shall we any longer live therein? No, wait. What did you say, Paul? This is Romans chapter 6. We're beginning at verse 1. He said, we who have died to sin, how shall we live any longer therein? How do we die to sin? He goes on to explain it. Don't you know, brethren, that all we who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. And if we have been planted with Him in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Now notice, knowing this, that the old body of sin is thus done away, that we should no longer live in bondage thereto. What is Paul saying about my obedience to the fundamental principles of the gospel of Christ? Well, believing Christ to be the Son of God, understanding within the limits of human capability, when I use the word understanding, I can never fully comprehend the love of God. Oh, but when I understand that He gave His sinless Son to die, bearing my sin, He died in my stead. I was worthy of eternal separation from God because of the consequences of my sin. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6 at verse 23. That's eternal death, eternal separation from the Father of light. There's no question about that. When I believe that God gave His Son, that Jesus voluntarily came and died in my stead. Friend, that involves my whole heart, my whole life. I make up my mind that I want to be like Him. I'm not going to walk willfully and deliberately any longer in sin. Does that make me perfect? No. No, I'm still in the flesh. I still make mistakes. I still fall short. But acknowledging that faith in Jesus Christ, I am buried with Him in baptism, Colossians 2:12, being buried with Him in baptism, wherein you're also risen with Him through faith in the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. And then Paul, in our text here in Romans chapter 6, said, don't you know, brethren, that all we who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Now, it's interesting that in John chapter 19, verse 34, Jesus' blood was shed in His death. How am I to be cleansed on the blood of Christ? I'll have to go where it was shed. Well, that's why Peter said, 1 Peter 3, verse 21, is it? The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Peter, are you saying that all a person must do to be saved from sin is simply to be baptized? Why, certainly not. Well, the very idea, without faith, you can't please God, Hebrews 11:6. Except you repent, you'll perish, Luke 13:3. And we're to acknowledge that faith, Romans 10:9 and 10. Oh, but then what did you say, Peter? The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. What is he saying? It is at this point of scriptural baptism, and there is but one, that one is saved from sin. How so? Don't you know, brethren, that all we who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. Now listen. And if you have been planted in the likeness of His death, which takes place in scriptural baptism, you should be also in the likeness of His resurrection. If that were not true, the conclusion would not be true. If you have been planted in the likeness of His death, which takes place in the act of the one scriptural baptism, you couldn't possibly be in the likeness of His resurrection. Yes, but when you do that, listen to what he said, knowing this, that the old body of sin, the old man of sin, is done away. Paul, are you saying I'm no longer in the flesh? No. The disposition to sin and the guilt of sins that I have committed, the old body of sin is removed, because I have given my life by faith to Jesus Christ. I want to live the spiritual life that is prescribed in His Word. How can I do that? By suddenly becoming perfect? By deciding that, man, I can handle this. I'm not any longer going to... I can't do that. The only way I can do that is through the grace of God that has provided for my salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son. Paul declared that to be the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. So when I die to the love and practice of sin, I'm buried with my Lord in baptism. What did he say? He said the old body of sin is done away. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Didn't Paul say, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation? Wait, if you what? If one is in Christ, he is a new creation. That fits with every figure the Lord has used. John chapter 3, verse 5, he said to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Born of, yes. So when you come forth out of the waters of baptism, you are a newborn babe in Christ. You know what Peter said? 1 Peter, what is it, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2? Sure, we are newborn, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby unto salvation. If we're waiting for the Lord to make us perfect, to provide the basis upon which I can handle this myself, I can live a sinless life, I can be accepted, friend, it won't happen. It doesn't happen. We're sinners. And that's why Jesus died. Oh, and that's what the gospel plan of salvation is all about, in humility. Because I believe in Jesus Christ, I turn from sin. Then I am buried with Him in baptism. That is a burial into His death, from which I am raised a new creation in Christ, a babe in Christ. Oh, the old body of sin has thus been removed. That's correct. I no longer desire to walk according to the flesh. I've given my life in humble obedience to the Lord. Yes, but now someone says, preacher, you're still in the flesh, right? Still live in this old world. That's right. It's still associated with many of the same people. That's true. Sometimes you have to separate yourself from some because, be not deceived, evil companions corrupt good morals. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. And thus we're careful of our associates. All of that is important to the nurture, the development, the maturation of the spiritual man. So I have certain obligations and responsibilities in that way. But when I come forth from the waters of scriptural baptism, the old body of sin is done away. Right. Now, as you said, still in the same world? Right. Still associated with many of the same people? Right. The temptations of life are still out there. There's no question about that. Oh, but I've made up my mind that I'm going to follow Christ. How can I avoid these temptations? How can I be secure against the onslaughts of Satan? Oh, having your loins girded with truth. Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. John 17, verse 17. And we're, of course, in Ephesians chapter 6, about verses 10 through 18. Loins girded with truth. Right. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Right. That is, understanding the truth, I put it into practice. Psalms 119, verse 172. Let my lips sing of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. So the loins girded with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having made up my mind that I'm going to do only that which the Lord has authorized to be done, or having my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Then I take up the shield of faith, wherewith I shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons, watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. That's through verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6. This is my defense. Yes, but preacher, still in this whole world, you're going to make some mistakes. Well, that's true. You said. You're going to fall short some. That's right. That's right. In trying to grow and to develop. And that's what Christianity is all about. It is a growth, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So it is a continuing process of maturation. How do I do that? Oh, through the application of the teaching of this book, the instruction for daily living, that which regulates my thought, my speech, and my conduct. Friends, it is so very, very important that we give our lives in humble obedience to the Lord and then devour, as it were, ingest the spiritual food. He said, I'm the bread that came down out of heaven, of which a man may eat and live forever. Oh, and the bread which I give is my flesh for the life of the world. That's verse 51 of John chapter 6. We remember that. Oh, and then verse 53, he that eateth not my flesh and drinketh not my blood hath not life in himself. Oh, but in verse 54, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Is he talking of the Lord's Supper? No. He is speaking of our ingesting that which cost him his body and his blood. That is spiritual food that, as Peter said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby unto salvation. Now, Paul explained, or the writer of Hebrews, that milk is for babes. Solid food is for full-grown men, even for those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. And we learn that, of course, in Hebrews chapter 5, all about verse 14. So then, there is the matter of growth, of development. We're babes, we grow just as we do physically. And through the diligent, continuing study of God's Word, we become grown men. We have a greater, broader concept of God's divine revelation. Now, if I live 100 years, read the Bible faithfully every day, perfect, not sinlessly perfect in the body. No, it doesn't work that way. Well, then someone says, how can I be saved? That's what the blood of Christ does. In 1 John 1, verse 7, we'll begin. He said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, Now, we know the source of light, of course. Psalms 119, verse 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. So if on a regular basis I read, study God's word, seek to apply its principles, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, and on occasion someone is going to say, well, now, I'd have to do that perfectly to be if you could do it perfectly, you wouldn't need the Lord. No, we're sinners. Christianity is a growth. As babes, we need the milk of the word. As grown men, the solid food of the word. There is never a time when we can lay aside spiritual sustenance. We cannot turn away from the word of God and live acceptable lives in the sight of God. It simply can't be. Oh, and in that study and application, I grow. I become more and more and more like Christ every day. Oh, and that's the important thing. Now listen, 1 John 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, this is literally a linear, a continuing statement, keeps on cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Just a moment. How can a sinner such as I stand in a right relationship with the Lord? Well, friend, in your obedience to the initial principles of the gospel, upon your scriptural baptism, which is an act of faith, the old body of sin is done away. Oh, then as I continue to apply these principles to my life, with all of my limitations, sure, with all of my shortcomings, indeed, with all of my failures, absolutely, the blood of Jesus Christ continues to cover. You know, that's what the Passover lamb was all about, wasn't it? We understand that. Exodus chapter 12, you remember? When they killed the Passover lamb, they were to take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood, sprinkle it on the lintels and on the doorposts of their houses. Now God said, I'm coming through the land, the firstborn of man and beast, and every house will die, no exception. Oh, but He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Not an Israelite died that night. Why? Because they were in the house where the blood was on the lintels and on the doorposts. God said, I'll pass over you. Do you remember Paul's statement, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7? Purge out the old leaven, that you may become a new lump, even as you are unleavened. For our Passover hath been sacrificed, even Jesus. Anyway, our Passover hath been sacrificed, and He named Him, even Jesus. What does He mean, Passover? Just as those Israelites down in Egypt did not die when the avenger passed over, though in every house in Egypt the firstborn of man and beast was dead, not an Israelite perished. Why? They were in the house where the blood was on the doorpost and on the lintels. Why, certainly. Same thing today, exactly. The church is the house of God, 1 Timothy chapter 3 at verse 15, that thou mayest know how men ought to behave themselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And, of course, Jesus Christ is the door, John chapter 10 at verse 9. Oh, and we understand that the door has the blood on it. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, purchased the church with His blood. The church is the house of God. Christ is the door. The blood is on the door. Right. Well, then there's safety inside. Yeah, but the people inside are just human, and they make mistakes. Oh, they sure do. They sure do. That's what Christianity is all about. That's why the Lord said in the parable of the sower, some of the seed would fall on the rocky ground, bedrock. Oh, but man, that heats up early in the spring, and that little plant comes out, and it just looks so good. But when it really heats up in the summer, that little plant wilts. What was the application here? Oh, some will obey the first principles of the gospel. And then when they find out there are problems in the church and people aren't perfect in the church, hey, they fall away. They want nothing to do. No. That's what giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace is all about. That's what individual membership in the body of Christ is all about. I'm to order my life so that I can be an encouragement to others. I can reach out and hold others. I can lift them up in times of turbulence and difficulty. Perfect? No, if you're waiting for perfecting power, it won't happen. It just doesn't occur. No. That comes about by growth. And the word perfect, by the way, is used with reference to people in the New Testament only in the sense of wholeness. When am I whole before the Lord? When I'm no longer guilty of sin. Well, someone says, preacher, when could a sinner such as you and I be no longer guilty of sin? When the old body of sin has gone away. Romans chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Oh, when we're raised new creatures in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Oh, when we are babes who long for the spiritual milk of the Word, we're not guilty. Why? The blood of Jesus Christ keeps on cleansing us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 at verse 7. You know, that's the only way Paul could quote the second verse of the 32nd Psalm in Romans chapter 4 at verse 8. And he did. He said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. Someone says, you mean to tell me, preacher, there's someone on this earth to whom the Lord won't reckon the guilt of sin? Why, certainly. If that were not true, there'd be nobody in heaven. No sin shall enter heaven. Well, someone says, who is the person to whom the Lord won't impute sin? The person who is continually cleansed in the blood of Christ. Who is that person? He's one who walks in the light. 1 John 1 at verse 7. He's making a diligent effort to order his life by the instruction given in the blood-sealed covenant of the Son of God. Perfect? No, sir. Will he ever attain perfection? No, sir. Will he ever be able to say, I'm doing everything the Lord wants done. I don't any longer need to read the book. I'm doing... Why, certainly not. Certainly not. Christianity is a growth. Friends, wait no longer. Give yourself to the Lord. He'll cleanse you from sin. Oh, there's no question about that. And you'll be raised a new creation in Christ. But you know, once in a while I'll talk with people and it would seem they're waiting for God to give them faith. You know, circumstances are going to occur. Conditions will prevail. If something is going to happen that will... Friends, faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. Now, we can believe many, many things. Oh, but the faith that saves derives from one source. The written, revealed, all-sufficient, totally authoritative revelation of the Almighty, the Word of God. So if you want a saving faith, you need to begin to read this book. You see, man must do the believing. Jesus said, except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. John chapter 8 at verse 24. So then that part is up to the individual. You know, with regard to the Christian, the child of God, the member of the body of Christ, our task is to proclaim the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16 at verse 15. That's our task. Oh, but notice the reaction. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieveth shall be condemned. Oh, but my task is not contingent upon the reaction of the auditor. No, no. My task remains the same. Preach the gospel. There are honest hearts into which the seed of the kingdom, the Word of God, Luke 8, verse 11, will fall. And I need to continue to... Oh, it is then the responsibility of the auditor, the hearer, to respond, to believe. That's correct. That's the way that works. And it is so very, very important. Don't wait for circumstances to prevail in which you feel that one day it's going to be easier for you to believe in Christ. No, no. Belief in Christ. A very positive reaction to an understanding of His divine will. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, Paul said, was this grace given to preach unto the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men know what is the dispensation of the mystery which for ages hath been hid in God, who created all things, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers and heavenly places might be made known through the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to His eternal purpose, which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. From Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. That's my task. That is the responsibility of every faithful child of God. Make known the truth. Friends, it's the reaction of your heart. It is a decision in your mind that determines whether or not you're going to believe it. And make that faith manifest by putting it into practice. May God help us so to do. Yesterday, preparation for certain accomplishments, certain tasks, certain desired goals means you wait. You labor. You work to the end that you may be qualified to achieve that which is a desired goal in your heart. Oh, but friends, when it comes to the salvation of your immortal soul, how long will I live upon this earth? I have no idea. When will I depart? I don't know. Under what circumstances will I leave this? I have no idea. I have no idea. Oh, but I know this. My life is as but a vapor. It appears for a little while, then vanishes away. James chapter 4 at verse 17. So then I must make preparation for my eternal welfare. I need to do that immediately because it is vital. If I should gain the whole world and lose my soul, friends, I've lost it all. Give attention to a thus saith the Lord.